You're listening to a Kix Productions podcast. For more information and content, visit kixtv.com.
Well, tonight I want to start with scripture, Matthew 6:33. One you're familiar with. I'll take it a little place, maybe we haven't ever gone before. And that's, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we preach increase, and we preach prosperity, and we preach multiplication, and we preach faith. Well, right here is a prescription, so to speak, a direction from God, that all things shall be added unto you. Increase comes by something specific. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is a place. The kingdom of God is a principle. And the kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. So we need to seek God's way of doing things and his right standing, his truth, his word, his way, and then all these things shall be added unto you. So when you seek his way of doing things, or you seek it by his mind, his will, his direction, you don't have anything to be concerned about. Well, I want to show you a couple things here. So it brings me to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, I feel what God is saying to us specifically, when I reiterate what he's told to us about 2018, is I want you to understand, seek ye first God's way of doing things. Well, God's way of doing things is found in Zechariah 4, 6. And he said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So it's by his spirit. It's not by your ability. It's not by your power. It's not by your reasoning. It's not by your way of doing anything. It's not even by your talents and your gifts. So when we're doing, for example, a movie, it's not going to be by my great directing skills, and it's not going to be by our great photographer. It's not even going to be by our great actors. We are going to do it by his spirit, by his power and his ability. And we seek first his way of doing it. And then all these things shall be added unto you. So if we went on the world's mentality, or we based everything on the world's ability, we would have never been the first people that made a movie with a canon. Because that wasn't what was done right then. And our goal was to be the first production with that camera. And because of that, you know, I can remember, and I've talked about it before, how on the chat rooms, you know, people were arguing, well, this movie did the canon first, and this movie did the canon first, and someone within the company, in the upper parts of the company, was looking at the chat room these people were chatting in, and they came back and they said, you know, I hate to tell you this, but the first people who did the movie with the canon was a Christian, was Christians. And so that got everybody quiet, but nonetheless, it wasn't by our power, it wasn't by our might, but it was by his way of doing things. He told us how to do it, he told us when to do it, he told us the way to do it, and we went after it. And I feel that God wants us to renew our thinking in that this year, that everything we're doing, when we go in to do Camp New again, when we go in to do the next drama this year, when we are building the studios that we're doing right now, with everything that we're putting together, with all the publications we're doing, he wants us to do it his way and the way he leads us, because it's by his spirit. And as we follow that, we're going to find out, even in our abilities, when you go in and let's say you just, you know, you want to organize your closet. You have talent and ability and creativity. You can go organize your closet. You can do it by color codes. But if you don't factor in that gift of God, you don't factor in the spirit of God, you don't factor in his way of doing it, because it may not make sense. He may tell you something completely different. He may lead you another path past what you could be creatively to do. And you'll find that in that creativity and in that ability, as he leads you and you seek his way of doing it, everything's going to be added unto you. And that's where the multiplication is. The multiplication is following his spirit, Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation or judgment or reproach or challenge for those who do not walk according to their power, their flesh, their ability, but by the Spirit of God, by His word, by faith, by His leading. And it says that that walking by that Spirit, by His Spirit, not that I want to say that Spirit, but I want to say His Spirit, walking by your Spirit, then the law of sin and death is broken. You have overcome. And you're more than a conqueror because He did it for you. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So, Zechariah 4, 6. And here in this scripture, verse 7, it goes, "Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with set shoutings, crying, grace unto grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying," so it's not by your power and it's not by your spirit. It's not by your might, but it's by his spirit. And it's saying here that it is that he shall bring forth a headstone therefore of shoutings. It shall become a plain. So everything that was a mountain is cast down. Everything that was low can be brought up. Everything that's crooked can be made straight. But you're not going to be able to do it at all. But his spirit is. That's where we get into Mark 11, where it says, if you believe in your heart that you have whatsoever things you say when you say them, and you say to the mountain, be thou cast into the sea, you have power backing you up. It's not your ability that casts the mountain in the sea. And what are your words? If we're people of confession, then what do our words mean? Do our words mean that we are having the power and that we say the things when it says the power of life and death is in the power of the tongue? Well, when you speak to the mountain's down because your words are lining up with his way of doing things. Your word is lining up with the kingdom of God. Your word is lining up with his righteousness. It is not God's will. That's the first thing people have to get across in their mind. It is not God's will for bad things to happen to you. And if you have that mentality, that religious tradition, it's really just a form of existentialism. That all these bad things make me what I am. That's an Eastern philosophy. You know, Christianity is not existentialism. We don't need bad things to make us love God more. We don't need someone to die to make us turn to God. We don't need bad things to make us good people. We don't need those things. We have one who died. His name is Jesus. And we have one who raised. His name is Jesus. And Ephesians 2 tells us that the power that raised him from the dead quickens your mortal body. He quickens you, and it's by his spirit and not by your might. No matter how good and how hard you try to be that Christian, you are not going to make it because it doesn't take that. It doesn't take anything you give up. It doesn't take anything you choose to not do. It doesn't take a New Year's resolution. It doesn't take any of those things. It takes faith. Faith in his work that he did it for you. Seeking first the kingdom of God. God's way of doing things is, this is marvelous in our eyes, that he died, took upon him all sin, sickness, disease, all the curse, and he rose from the dead to bring us into right standing, that everything could be added unto us. It is by his spirit and our faith in who he is. And here he's saying to Zechariah, "Who art you, O great mountain? You cannot stand. You shall become a plain. You shall become a plain. And grace, grace unto it." Grace is God's power and ability. That is, it's grace that removes that mountain. When you line your mouth up and your heart believing what God says, because really your mouth just follows what's in your heart. We could get our kids to be quiet. And we could tell our kids, "I don't want you to backtalk me." But the problem, isn't what's coming necessarily out of their mouth at that moment and them controlling it. The problem is, what is the root of the attitude behind it? You want to get to the attitude in your kids. You want to find out what needs to change, because that mountain is going to become a plain. That attitude has to come down. It's got to line up with truth. It's got to line up with what's really happening. You know, kids could be influenced by so many things. We could be influenced by so many things. You know, there's so many people who, I was raised with Cinderella. And I expected everything to be Cinderella. I wanted my prince, and I wanted my glass slipper to be put right back on me, and I wanted everything that Cinderella had. But my prince was not a charming prince. He did not know how to be that prince. He just fell right out. You know, you could watch White Christmas, and you could find out that Prince Charming fell off the horse. And then finally, she suddenly sees the light at the end, and she brings the horse and the knight, and she gives them to him behind the Christmas tree, and all Hallmark moments happen. And at that point, the prince is back on. That knight in shining armor is back on the horse. Well, there is not any knight in shining armor in your life but one, and his name is Jesus. Because every person will let you down. And if you look to that person to satisfy your need is never going to be satisfied. It tells us in James chapter 4 that if you ask amiss, and if you go after it amiss, and it's to gratify yourself only, that's lust. That's something, that's self-gratification. That's not God's plan in relationships. That's not God's way of doing things. So when you do it God's way, and you go after that, because when my husband, and I was going to become a widow when I was 26, my husband had that wreck, I realized really quick that the idolatry of my surrounding my life around him wasn't working, because he crashed. But when I put my faith in the right way of doing things, and I realized that seeking first the kingdom, God's way of doing things, I found out that God raised him up out of that deathbed. That God is the one who made me not a widow. That God was the one through his power that stepped into that situation. Because he said to me, he shall live and not die. And he will declare the glory of God. And I found out at that point that, my three-year-old wasn't alone. I wasn't alone. All these things were added unto me. The very thing that I desired was given to me. My heart's desire was satisfied. But it was centered around the one who had the power. And the mountain was made a plain. And I could go on and say the crooked places were made straight. And so many times when we want to see increase in our life, we don't allow God to make the crooked places straight. People, they don't like the lights turned on if they're hiding something. And there's nothing to be concerned about, because really it's not hidden from the Lord. It's really not even hidden from each other. I mean, everybody knows where my weakness is. And that's okay. I don't care. I don't need to be anything different than what I am, because in him I am made strong. And in him I'm made whole. And in him I find everything. And I don't need to live up to anybody's expectation. And as we go together, it's grace and grace and grace unto it. And then it goes in verse 8, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you." See, here I believe God had given him a task. And he had to come and he had to realize and he had to stand that it wasn't by his ability, it wasn't by his power, but it was by the Spirit, by God's Spirit. And that there was grace and grace unto it. And that everything that was in his way was coming down. And everything that was made low that and was crooked and that was wrong and rocky, God smoothed and changed and did it by his power. And Zerubbabel was part of that foundation. It says, his hands shall also finish it. So it was God in partnership with him. So it was God working with him. And he said, as Zerubbabel did this, and as his hand finished it, by the power of God, thou shalt know what? The Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And he goes on and he says, for who has despised the day of small things? You can't judge where you are and say you're not going to achieve what he said. Because everything in the impossible is in God. Because with man, it's not possible. And you can't look at where you are right now and say you'll never have whatever that dream is that God's put in your heart, or whatever ability. You can't sit back and compare yourself to the circumstance or the situation. You have to hold on to what God has said, and then you go, and wisdom will speak to you, and overflow will be in your life, and miracles will come to you, because God is God. And you don't sit back and judge the small beginnings or what you think is small, because nothing will ever be enough outside of Him. If He's given you a dream, that dream is bigger than anything you have. Because that's in Him, He's not gonna measure His dream. God, the creator of the universe, isn't gonna measure His dream by the size you are, or the size of your wallet, or the size of your ability, or the size of your intellect, or the size of your college degree. He's not gonna measure any of that way. He is gonna measure it by what He has designed and purposed and called. Because He knows, God knows it's His ability in you. It's His power working in covenant with you. And in conjunction with you. And you can't despise what you see as small. You sit back, who has despised the day of small things? You may be small in your own sight. That's what caused Israel a problem. When God had told them, this is the promised land. And they went in and they sent the spies in and they came back and they said, we're just grasshoppers in our own eyes. Well, what did they do? They looked at the giant, and when they looked at the giant, they judged what their size was by the giant. They didn't need to compare themselves to what was in the land. What they needed to do is see who they were in Christ, see who they were in God, see who they were in the Word. What did God say? That's what you judge by. And who is spiritual could judge all things. You judge by what He says. And they could go in and say, now God said He had given us this land. So then they wouldn't be grasshoppers. They could be, you know, you could take it and say they could be grasshoppers in God, and God was great and big, but they didn't do that. They compared themselves to the negative. And you have a lot of negative coming at you. You have a lot of negative that's already passed you by. You might have a lot of negative from your past, but you cannot judge yourself as small. And you can't despise what you see. When you put a seed in the ground, it's a tiny little seed, that mustard seed, for example. But the ground and the seed working together. Luke 8:11 says the seed is the word of God. And you are the ground. We don't want to get existentialistic again and say the ground is all the pressure and all the bad things you go through and all the trouble and it's going to make that seed grow. No, that is like, it's too complicated to go that direction. It's so simple. Luke 8:11. The seed is the word of God, and you are the heart, the soil, that it's planted in. Your life is the ground. And by the washing of the water of the word, that ground becomes soft. And you want to put it in good soil. You don't want to put it, Mark 4 talks about all the different grounds and the different ways the seed is sown, where it's sown into. You want to get that 30, 60, 100-fold return. You don't need to despise the small beginning. So in the sense, the Lord said for us at the end of last year, 2018 was the year of blessing and favor. It was the year of favor like we have never seen before. It was the year of the blessing being released in our lives like never before. So He's not saying it's new favor, a new blessing. He's saying it's just an overflow of blessing and favor like never before. It's the year of our season for such a time as this, meaning this is your season for getting the best of God. You are the generation He has chosen. It's now time for you to take the center stage. I remember years ago that Pastor Rick gave a word for one of the New Year's that it was God's grand performance. That curtain was going to come up and we were going to see just the hand of God and what He was doing. That is the blessing and favor. And for us, it's like He's telling us like never before. So when I had that, and we've had some time off, obviously, I look back and I say, okay, what are we supposed to do, Lord, to experience the blessing and favor like never before? Not that I want to get into works and what we have to do, but where do we need to put our faith? Where do we need to position ourselves to experience like never before? So I want to share with you three specific things that the Lord put in me. One is you have to know what we want. You have to know what you want and that He will give it. So I feel like one of the things to experience the blessing and the favor, just in your natural way of thinking, is to break it down. To go step by step, organize your thoughts, organize the plan. And for us, okay, we're building a new studio and we're going after that. And we are laying down a vision. What is it? So you have to know what you want, and then you have to know that He will give it. And then you have to believe in that, that the Lord is having, you know, that breaking down of everything for a purpose, whether it's finance and debt, dreams, time. Break it down. Begin to say, okay, this is where I want to see blessing and favor like I've never seen before. In Deuteronomy 6:12, it says, beware lest you forget the Lord, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So some of the things you might want to do this year or starting this month is go back and say, okay, Lord, what was it that you've done? I haven't forgotten what you've done. And where have you brought me? And how have I seen your hand there? In finance, in debt, dreams, time, purpose, calling. So we could go back and say, okay, look at the movies that God has done. So look what He has done. We're not going to forget that it was the Lord. And it was the Lord that brought us to this place. But He goes on to say, as you do that, and we look back and we can see all the things we've accomplished, He's going to take us and He's going to say, okay, let's know what we want, but we can't forget it's He who gave it. So then you go back to Deuteronomy 6, and you realize He is first, He is loved, and He is yours. He is first, He is loved, He is yours. And verse 8 says that, you know, and this is something the Lord had given us specifically in our calling, that you bind the word of God upon your hand, between your eyes. And that word bind the word, or, you know, what God has promised, it means to fasten them to yourself vigorously. You need to hang on to what He said. And in verse 9, it says, you're going to write them upon the post of your house and on your gates. You write it. You meditate on the word. But you're basically going in to a direction. So what I'm saying to you, you got to know what you want and that He is the one who gave it. He is first. He is loved. He is yours. And don't forget what He has done. And break down everything. Finance, debt, dreams, time, purpose, calling, projects, whatever that is. Begin to break it down. And then go to point 2. You have to know what faith is to use it. And you have to know faith is what you use. Not in your own ability. And you have to know that your words have power and you need to use them. Since it's not based on your ability, what is it based on? And you could do your part in the natural, laying things out, putting it together, writing them down. You know, let's say your dream is to have your house completely organized. You can go and you can throw a whole lot of stuff out. You can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He can say, get rid of that. You don't need it anymore. And you can go after that. So you could do your natural part. And you've been given talents and gifts, and you could use them, knowing that the power comes from Him. And you could know that the things happen because your faith is the power working in the situation. For example, the woman with the issue. She wanted God's favor, God's blessing like never before. And she said, if I but just touch the hem of His garment, because she heard. And she began to appropriate it. Not only did she say it, she went out after it. She pressed through all the pressures of the crowd and she touched the hem of His garment. And at that point, that faith activated something in Him. And that hem of His garment meant that it was a finished work. He said, it is finished. All the finished work is already in Him that has for every dream you have, for everything you desire. It's finished in Him. And when she pressed through and she touched it, she activated her speaking and her action and her touching. Activated something from Him. And He turned and He said, virtue's come out of me. His power, His ability, everything that God is, all of His characteristics, all of His blessing, all of His promises was activated as she touched it, the hem of His garment. She touched, it is finished. And when she touched that, immediately, straightway, something changed. So you can realize that all the work you do over on the left side isn't going to do you any good without the right side, because you have to have that balance. And the right side is activating His virtue by the actions of faith, speaking and acting and touching, because it is His way of doing things. and everything is added. And it's clear that the just shall live by faith. And Habakkuk 2:4 says, behold, his soul was, which is lifted up is not right in him, meaning it was, basically, let me put it this way, make it simple so we don't have to preach it here, but that there was unbelief. They had to turn it around and come to understand the just shall live by his faith. You live by your faith. That's where you find energy and life and being and movement is by faith. Faith, we're created in the image of God, and God is a faith God. He is faithful, full of faith. So everything we do is built on faith. And what's your faith in? Is your faith in negative things that are going to happen to you? Then that isn't the God's way of doing things. That's fear. And if you have fear, it's activating something. But faith is activating something in your life. In Romans 1:17, it says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. So if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, it says in Romans 1:17 that the righteousness of God is revealed from what? Faith to faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. So everything you believe, from faith to faith to faith to faith, is bringing manifestation. It's bringing virtue. It's bringing action. From God to you, it's that grand performance in your life, from faith to faith, and you live by that. You are living by that righteousness of God revealed in you, that right standing. Righteousness is a force of faith. It happens in your life when you ask Jesus, you say, dear Lord, come into my life. I believe that you rose from the dead. You died for me. And that action of speaking and that action of moving forward, that action of communicating, that action of reaching out and touching the finished work of God in Jesus Christ has brought righteousness revealed to you from faith to faith. And you can look back through the ages and you can see from faith to faith, from the faith of Peter, from the faith of Paul, from the faith of John, therein righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Faith to faith. In all capacities, faith is like a diamond. It has so many facets. And the Word of God has so many dimensions of faith and life and truth, found only as one truth. It's not multiple truths. It's not economical, whatever it is, ecumenical. Galatians 3:11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. God says your faith is evident. And no man is justified any other way. So for the blessing and the favor of God to be activated for you like never before, it's not going to be justified by how good you get everything in order. It's not going to happen there. Get your stuff in order. Why? For the blessing to overflow. Not because you're making the order that it's going to happen. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Faith pleases God. Don't draw back from faith. Press in. Know it's his ability. If you're looking at your own ability, you're not going to do anything much. Because you'll never measure up in your sight. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So we realize even more so that we can't do it in man's power, man's wisdom, man's ability, man's knowledge. That it, unless the Lord build the house, it's going to be in vain. So we have to use those things that keep our eyes on him, that keep our eyes on the word, putting Jesus first, like we came out of 2017, Jesus the reason, and him alone. And we have to realize he adds to us, he defines us, he redeems us, he exemplifies us, he provides us, he provides for us. And in the Amplified Bible, and I want you to know that this is called the Song of Ascents of Solomon. Psalm 127, which I'm going to get to. Here it says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early to take rest at night, I mean to take rest late, to eat the bread of anxious toil. So what this is talking about is working, toiling the ground. Adam was in the garden. He had a gift. He could name hundreds of animals and remember them. He could take care of that garden. He was meant to dominate that garden. He was meant to bring Eden through the world. That garden wasn't closed. It wasn't this one little spot of existence. Eden was multiplying throughout the world. And Adam had the ability to do it. But when he got into his own way of doing things, when the serpent came and deceived, and Satan stepped in, and he took upon himself his own ideas, the knowledge of good and evil, and he began to rely on himself, and fear was birthed. And the toil and the work came, and he was taken out of the garden, because the garden was for eternity, and God didn't want man to be eternally unsaved and eternally toiling and struggling and relying on their own ability in a Babylonian system. And so he was taken out of the garden, and what did he have to do? He had to toil the ground. But it says here that if the Lord builds the house, they labor. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So suddenly we find out that Adam couldn't build God's house. No longer could Adam bring the Garden of Eden to the world. He couldn't do it. So now he's saying, unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wakes in vain. You can't even make it happen in a city. And he's talking here then in verse 2 that it's just vain to keep working and rising and going to bed and eating and going to bed and going to bed and doing this. Because in verse 2, in the Amplified Bible, it says, for he, the Lord, gives blessings to his beloved in sleep. So he does it while you're asleep. You don't even have to work for it. Who wants the blessing of the Lord? I do. I want the blessings. Well, hallelujah, I could sleep and he could give me the blessing.